This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 21. Amen. Amen. It's something there that I'd like to lift from the scripture that hopefully it'll help you and encourage you and build you on along the journey. Amen. We've been dealing with and talking about becoming spiritually mature and growing in the Lord. And some things that we need to know is that when we grow in the Lord, we become obedient to Him. And also when we grow in the Lord, we learn how to react and respond, or respond, I should say, to those things that come in our lives that we sometimes seem to be unfavorable. But we have a hope that maketh us not ashamed. We have a God that will not disappoint us. Amen. When you're looking at Acts chapter 21, we'll start reading at verse number 8. When you have Acts chapter 1, you're looking at, chapter 21, and you're looking at verse number 8. I want you to say, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Verse number 8 of the book of Acts, chapter 21, says, "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed, and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said, Thus said the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they that of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What meaneth ye to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 and final verse. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. I want to use for a thought, a tag, or title for this message this morning, being content with the call. Content with the call. When I think about this, I think about, because I like to watch some sports, I think about when Des Bryant caught the touchdown, in alleged touchdown, in the end zone. And that was the year that everybody said the Cowboys was going to win the Super Bowl. But the referee decided that it was not a catch. And nobody was content. Not the Cowboy fans, was content with the call. But then there was a man by the name of Calvin Johnson who years earlier, because he caught a same kind of pass in the end zone, and they called it back, he had to let Dez know, Dez, you have to be content with the call. Just this past month, we had the NBA Finals, and so happened the team that I didn't like won. But I noticed that the first three games, there was a man there who happened to be a superstar who every time they missed calling something in his favor, he threw a temper tantrum because he was making sure that they understood that he was not content with the calls that were being made. And sometimes in life, we are the same way. We're never content with the call of God, the things that he allow in our life, the things that we go through. We find ourselves the same way, bickering and complaining. We get before the press or the people, and we let them know how disagreeable we are with what's going on in our life. But sometimes we have to realize that the call is the call. And we don't have the authority to change what God or what the call is. Amen? When we look at this today, when we begin to talk about this and discuss this, I want you to understand that every one of us in this building today has a call. Every one of us has a call from darkness into the light of God, but there's a reason why God calls us out. And the thing that I want you to see here is that Paul, during his time on earth, during his time of ministry, he had to find himself becoming content with what God called him to and what God called him to go through to get to where he had to be. Amen? Amen. And sometimes that means that some unfavorable things will happen in our life. That means some things that we don't like will begin to happen in our life. That means that some people may do some things that we may not like. Amen. But we have to learn to be content with what God allows, because if he's allowed it, then he can get us through it. Amen. Amen. I'm just a firm believer that if God brings us to it, that he certainly can get us through it. Right. Amen. Anybody agree with me? And so I just want to be like Paul was in the book of Philippians. He says that I've learned how to be content in all things. He said, if I'm hungry, I'm good. He said, if I'm thirsty, I'm all right. He said, no matter what state I'm in, I've learned how to be content. And that is a sure sign of spiritual growth. That is a sure sign of spiritual maturity when you decide that God is still in control. When you start to realize that God is so sovereign that no matter what happens, it didn't surprise him. We can go to God and we can talk to him about our problems. And we always used to sing that song, have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our cry and answer by and by. Guess what? He's already answered. He already knows what we're going to pray before we even pray it. The Bible tells us that even when Jesus prayed, when it was concerning his friend Lazarus, he was there at the gravesite and he said, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you already heard me. Now, I didn't see where it said that he said anything, but Jesus said, I thank you that you already heard me. You already know what this is about. And because you already know what this is about, I know that you got a plan, and all I want to know is what that is. And he said, move the rock, because here's the plan. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came hopping out of the grave. Come on and say amen. Amen. And so when we look at the book of Acts is written by one physician by the name of Luke. And Luke was writing this. He was a companion of Paul. He was writing this to Theophilus, who was the second letter to Theophilus, who he wanted to share with him the things that, first off, Jesus had done, and then the acts of those who were disciples of Jesus, or those who followed after the way, or which we call the Christian faith. And so here it was that Paul had been to several places. He went to Ephesus, and he understood that it was coming a time that he was going to have to move on. He was going to have to go away. Paul knew that it was a time coming that he would not be back to places that he had visited before, because his time was coming to an end. Many of us, we wonder, and sometimes we often wonder how when people, when they pass away, you'll find people talking about, you know, it seemed like they knew that something was about to happen. Do you know that God will give you some type of understanding, some type of notion that you need to do something with yourself? And you may not know exactly what's going to happen, but God allows us. Nothing surprises a child of God. Amen? Because we know that God has given us a glimpse of whatever it is that's going to happen in our life. Come on and say amen. And so Paul was leaving Ephesus, and he told them, he said, here's my farewell speech. And he begins to tell them in chapter number 20, he begins to tell them, and I like this, because Paul said to them, he said, everywhere I go, he said that everybody tells me and saying that I'm going to be in bonds and afflictions is going to meet me wherever I'm about to go. He says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear to myself that I may may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul is saying this. He said, none of this moves me. I know that you said I got trouble when I get there. I know that there are going to be people that's going to try to kill me when I get there. But guess what? That don't move me. That does not make me want to run and hide. I have peace by doing the will of God. We have to get to a place that we say, you know what? I have peace regardless of what comes, what may happen. I have the peace of God. And this reminds me of what Paul told Timothy when he wrote the letter to Timothy. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. But not only to me, but all those that love his appearing. And so what Paul was telling them is the same thing he told, and it's the same thing because it's the church of Ephesus that he's talking to, and that's where Timothy happened to be the bishop at that time. He's letting them know, I'm full of joy in spite of. He said, I know that there are some things that people don't like about me, but so what? I'm still going to do the will of God. It got to a place where people begin to fast and they begin to make vows, and they begin to say, you know what? I will not eat until Paul is dead. Do you know? And we don't have that kind of trouble today. We don't have people saying that about us. Now, they may have some ill things they want to do to us, but they don't want to kill us, you know? And Paul was saying, regardless of what they want to do to me, my job is to testify of the goodness of God, of his grace. Now, the one thing that we don't always look at and realize is that God has given us the testimony. Amen. He's given us a testimony, and it is our duty and our job to make sure that people hear what God has done in our life, to make sure people understand that you are a believer in Christ Jesus. The most important thing is not for you to get a good job. I know that's what you thought. The most important thing is not for you to get a big house and have two children and a pool and all of that. That may come. But guess what? The most important thing is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you let people know who he is and that they get to experience him through you. Because some people will never see God. Some people will never read a Bible, but you can share with them the good news of the gospel and you can show them who Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. Do I have any witnesses this morning? And so we have to be content with the call. But sometimes people are not content and they fly the coop. They want to do what they want to do. But we got to be able to say, I'm content with what happens. Whenever we cannot be like animals in our spiritual walk with God. In other words, animals react by their natural instinct. If you take a horse and you pull him one way, he's going to go the way that you're pulling him because he is a creature of flight. He does not want to have any pain, so he will not resist. He'll just go the way that you want him to go. Even though he has power to stomp you down and power to run over you, he still obeys you because he does not want any trouble. Many of us are the same way. We use our animalistic instinct and say, you know what? I don't want no trouble, so I'm just going to run away from this. But do you know the more you run, still trouble will find you wherever you are. You still have to go through trials. You still have to go through tribulation because you have to grow into the kingdom. And the Bible declared to us that through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of God. How do I get in the kingdom? By going through. Why? Because it makes me pray when I don't feel like praying. It makes me go to church to get a word when I'm going through. That's why when I go through the trials that I go through, it makes me a better person because now I want to be what God wants me to be. And I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm not trying to worry about the opinions of others, but I'm trying to do what the King has called me to do. I wish I had a witness. And so I have to become content with the call because through all this tribulation I go through, he says tribulation works what? Patience, experience, that means it gives me character. And he said experience, hope, that means that now I have something to hope for. And he said hope that maketh me not ashamed. And what does that mean? That means that God will not disappoint me. He will make sure that whatever's going on in my life, that I will have exactly what I need. The Bible said that sometime all we need is peace. He said he'll give you and keep you in perfect peace if you can just keep your mind stayed on him. So I'm keeping my mind on him so I can be content with the call. Yes. And that was my introduction. Let me try to get into the message. And so here it is, and they go to, Paul says, I'm going to Philip's house. He goes to Philip's house, and he gets there, and Philip has some daughters. And Philip's daughters, they prophesy. In other words, they speak on behalf of God, and they give a word and everything. And it's so impressive that Luke had to put it in the book. Luke had to write it because he was impressed that Philip, who happened to be a deacon, who also happened to be an evangelist, amen? And so that goes to show you the deacons are not just to look good, but they are actually supposed to be doing something, amen? And so he happened to be one of the first of the seven deacons that was chosen, but he also was an evangelist because he went to Samaria and spread the word. He also went to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he gave him a word, and the Ethiopian eunuch went to Ethiopia and told him what Philip said, and all of Ethiopia became the first Christian nation. It became a nation of people, and still today they're still called a nation of Christians. Amen. And Philip was so powerful in his influence with people that he influenced his family, that his daughters wanted to prophesy. They wanted to preach. They wanted to teach the word. They want to speak on behalf of God. Isn't that something? I would love to be the same way of Philip. I would love to be so influential that my family would really want to serve God and speak on behalf of God. Who wouldn't want that? Amen. And so they went to his house. And the thing about it is that even though these girls could speak on behalf of God, they did not see everything that God was saying that day. So God sent one man by the name of Agabus. The Bible says that he sent Agabus, and Agabus came to Paul, and he began to talk. He began to predict, I believe in verse number 11. Verse 11 says that, and when he came to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound him hand and feet and said, this said the Holy Ghost, that the Jews at Jerusalem bind this man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. This was Agabus, a prophet who had already predicted something before. He predicted that there would be a great famine, and there was a famine. And so here he was coming, and he was prophesying, telling Paul what was going to happen. Now, the thing I want you to understand is that the prophecy that he got was unfavorable. It was unexpected because Paul was in the midst of people, and Paul, by the way, had a relationship with God himself. So Paul, he knew that something would happen, but he didn't know exactly what would happen. But not only that, but this prophecy, this prediction was unwanted. It was a warning of preparation and not a warning of prohibition. A lot of times when we get a word, we want to know that we can make a change, that we can stop what's going to happen. But not all the time do you have the ability to stop what's going to happen. Sometimes when you get something that is unfavorable, a word, when you know something, a notion, and God reveals something to you, sometimes it is a time for him to prepare you and not to prohibit you. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, we don't like to get a prediction that seems unfavorable. That's why people all the time run to people who they say is prophets. And, you know, and then I hear and I see and I've experienced and been in settings where people, they can call your name. They can call your social security number. They can tell you what street you live on. But can you tell me when the Lord's coming back? Can you tell me what I'm feeling in my body? How to get healed? How to get whole? Can you tell me how I can influence my children? I wish I had somebody. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what people do, but what I'm saying is that I want to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I don't want you to tell me all good stuff all the time, because I know my life is not going to be filled with only good things. In my life, there will be highs and lows. Come on and say amen. And just like my life is just like a sheet of music. There are high notes and there are low notes. Amen. And just like when a person's playing a piano, you know, you have highs and lows, but the highs and lows is what make the song so beautiful. That's what makes my life so much better, is because I have highs and lows. And even in my lows, I'm higher than I would have been, because I got God on my side. Amen. And so look at this. He said that these things that he predicted, they were unfavorable. They were unwanted, because the people didn't want to hear this. They didn't want to hear that the great evangelist Paul, who had planted churches all over the place, Paul, who had taught people how to love, Paul, who had confronted people who were prejudiced. I wish I had somebody. Paul, the same person who tried to get everybody to do the right thing. This man was about to die. Can you imagine what happened in the 60s when Martin Luther King was killed? How people felt, how angry people became, how hopeless they became because this great man who was trying to get everybody together died. Today, we still feel the pains of what happened just those 40 some odd years ago. Amen. And so when we look at what happened then, and we can imagine what was happening now, as when Paul was told in the prediction that Paul, when you get to Jerusalem, when you get to where the church is, notice something, when you get to where the place where everybody worships, because Jerusalem was the center of worship. That is where everybody, all people from all walks of life, that they went there to worship the Lord. And they tell Paul, when you go to church, some things are not going to happen in your favor.
That's right.
Can you imagine coming to church and then some stuff just go off? When you get to the place of worship, you're going to have trouble in your life. Am I helping anybody this morning? You're going to have trouble. And he tells him, he said, they're going to bind you and they're going to turn you over to the Gentiles. This was a prediction that Paul will be turned over to the Romans. And Paul knew, because God had spoke to him and said, you have to go to Rome and you have to tell the people at Rome the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, who else was going to do it? Because nobody was bold enough to go to Rome and tell them. So God fixed it where a prisoner was somebody who was chained up. And all Paul had to do was appeal because he was a Roman citizen. And he could have been free. But he said, no, this is what God has planned for me. So he was content with his call. Oh, have mercy here. And so look at the persecution here. We see the prediction, but the persecution is that this place was a place of peace. It was a place of worship that he was going to be persecuted. And so sometimes in our environment that we want to have peace, it seems like that's where the devil torments us the most. Whenever we have a place where we want to have peace, for instance, we can be at a place where we think is a good family function, and all of a sudden something happens, and then, oh my, all hell breaks loose, and then there is no more what? Peace. There, it may be a place at your own house. It may be somewhere with your friends. It may be at your workplace where you think that all I want is a peace of mind. But something happens and it steals your peace and also steals your joy. But one thing I like about this is that he said that Paul would be bound hand and foot and turned over to the Gentiles. Now, Paul would have been bound physically, but spiritually and mentally, he was still free. And so what that tells me is that no matter what's going on in your life physically, you need to know that spiritually and mentally, if you can keep yourself free in your mind, if you can keep yourself free in your spirit, it doesn't matter what the enemy brings your way, that you can overcome. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. When you can remember that he loves you, then you can overcome whatever comes your way. When you remember that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we can overcome. As long as you become content with what God allows, if God allow it, then I don't care what happens, because I know that he's going to work it out. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, that all things work together for the good of them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for all of us. God has a purpose for you. And so if he says that all things work together, that means that it's going to line up. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how what happened to you is going to work in your favor, but guess what? It's working, because maybe it's making you a better Christian. Maybe it's making you more alert of what the enemy is trying to do. Maybe it's making you pray more than you had been praying. But whatever it's doing for your life, you need to know that it's going to work for your good. You see, a Christian always wins. We never lose. Even in death, we still win, because in death, we get eternal life. Do anybody believe me here that it's okay to be content with what God called you to? God may call you to some trouble. God may call some people and say, hey, go talk about them. Go do something this. Do say something about them. And you're saying, you know, all I did was try to help people. All I did was try to do the right thing. They misunderstood me. But that's okay. You may be misunderstood. You may be lied on. You may be talked about. But you have to be content with it, because maybe God wants people to start looking at your life to show them how to really live. To show people how, even though you talked about me, I forgive you. Huh? Come on and say amen. Even though you lied on me, I'm not bitter. I feel better, because I know who God called me to be.
Amen.
I may get persecuted, but it's okay. It's okay, because I'm free. God wanted to use Paul.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that God wasn't already using him, but God wanted to use him even more.
Yes.
Now look at what happened. The people begin to plead with him. The people begin to plead because Agabus said the Holy Ghost said this. And the Holy Ghost does what? He reveals things that God has already said to us. He gives us what belongs to God. He gives us the word that God has already said. And so the people begin to plead, and they begin to say, Paul, please don't go. I think it's in verse 12. It says, when they heard these things, both we and they that were of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Here is Luke saying we. Most of the time, if you read this, Luke don't even really refer to himself. But this was a situation here that Luke said, we begged him, we besought him not to go to Jerusalem. We wanted him to live. We wanted him to avoid the trouble, but we pleaded with him and we begged him. And the thing about it is that when they pleaded and they begged him, Paul tells them, he says in verse 13, what means ye to weep and to break my heart? They begin to believe that the prediction was true. They begin to cry. And Paul said, don't cry and break my heart. I don't want you to be upset with what God has called for my life. Amen. Oh, come on and say amen. Amen. But look at the peace of Paul. The peace of Paul. Even though the prediction he got was unfavorable, even though he was about to be persecuted, he had peace. Look at the peace of Paul. He was content. Paul was courageous. Paul was cool. He says, don't weep for me. He says, you're breaking my heart. He said, I am ready not only to be bound, he said, but I'm ready to die. Oh, my God. Now that's strong. That's a person who's truly content with the call. Because when you become a person that's content, a person that's courageous, when a person that's cool, you become a person that's consistent. You become consistent. No matter what comes your way, you still got your eye on the prize. You're forgetting those things which are behind, and you're reaching forth toward the mark for the prize of the high call that is in Christ Jesus. Do I have any witnesses here? We have to make sure that we're at peace with what God has given for our life. He said, and let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Well, the peace of God is able to keep you if you receive the peace. We have to learn how to allow the peace of God to work in our life. You got some people, they don't want the peace of God. They want the chaos. They want all kind of stuff to go on. But I have peace about whatever God has for my life. It caused him to say, you know what? I'm still going to be more faithful. I'm still going to preach even the more. I'm going to preach more now than I've ever preached before. I wish I had somebody. He responded because he knew his purpose. He knew that the final destiny for his life was going to be at Rome, that he was going to have a chance to talk to people that nobody else had talked to. I wish I had somebody. Do we look at our life and think that our life is precious in our own sight? Or do we look at our life and say, my life is precious in God's sight? And so whatever God has for me, it's for me. We got to look at that and not only look at Paul, but there are so many others. Like Job, the Bible says that Job went through a hard time in his life. Job lost more than we ever could think about losing. Job lost his family, his children died, and Job was, the Bible said, he was more upright than anybody else. And so people say the reason why you go through is because you must have did something. The devil is a lie. You don't have to do anything but believe. The Bible said that the devil is out to steal, kill, and to destroy. You think that because you do something bad, the devil want to destroy you? No, he wants you to keep doing something wrong. He wants you to keep doing bad. I wish I had somebody. And so when you decide to change your life, guess what he's going to do? He's going to come at you. He's going to come after you. He's going to try to destroy you. The Bible says when the word is sown, that the enemy, that he tried to come and choke it up with the cares of life. He tried to pluck it up, dry it up. He tried to kill what God has put in you. But do you know today that it doesn't matter that when the devil wrote, the Bible says he